SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hours in sports radio.
How are the two best hosts on Grid Radio?
Moneyline with Donnie Wrightside.
Mustache, glasses, and a bacon, egg, and cheese. You know what? I just keep moving.
But man.
Kevin Walsh.
No, it's not a bad take. You're in outer space right
for
now.
North. And the dream team of callers.
I hope you guys checked the tape right. That was the 5-0 Vegas. Vegas.
Bring it.
Astros, Rangers, Astros over.
Smoke.
Check
all
the
smoke.
Tape.
Yep. Easy, too.
That was
easy. It feels good.
It was, wasn't it? Man.
I listen to you guys also with all that great information you gave out on players' props. So it's going to be a fun night tonight.
I just honestly became a huge Sports Grid fan and over the last year, and I found you in K-Dub show, man, and I have been addicted.
And let me give a shout-out to my man, JP, holding it down behind the scenes.
There it is.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM, Channel 159.
Hour number two in full effect, and some will say the prime time hour on the network here. Ready to rock and roll, 844-843-6879. It's Donnie and Kevin on the grid. Let's open those phone lines up. Chris in Austin coming through. Chris, talk to us, buddy.
DRS Kev, good afternoon, man. And
hello there.
Hope you guys have a good weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. You guys were talking about SMU and USC, that team with Reggie Bush. So in 1990, man, I was being recruited by SMU. They were coming off of the death penalty. Yeah, right.
Where'd you go? Little Permian? Where were you? Austin area?
No, man.
The Woodlands?
Yeah, the Austin area. Just outside of Austin, man. A town called Bastrop. We had three Division I signees. Jared Ferguson went to TCU. Alcee Peterson went to A&M. And Sean Felix went to Texas Tech. And my other good buddy went to Texas State. We set a state record for the least amount of yards allowed per game.
I was the
outside linebacker, man. Linebacker is what I was called because we ran a 52 monster. But man. So I went up there. I was so intimidated by SMU, man, and they were coming off of the depth. And it wasn't like I was going to go to the NFL or anything, but they were trying to work on that image. And so I was the perfect, student athlete. And so, I had good grades, honor student, vice president of student council. And so they want, but I ended up joining the military and the Navy. I don't have any regrets about that. And that USC team that you guys, everybody loves to talk about, I thought it was the greatest team in history. And another person from another show, Lisey, said that they should have gave it to Lindell White. They did give it to Lindell White. They did. He was stopped by Casey Hampton and Sean Rogers. If you don't know who those two defensive tackles are, look it up. They stopped Lindell White. They stopped
Lindell,
him. And Reggie Bush was a great, great quarter running back. The greatest quarterback that I've ever seen play college football is Vince Young to this day. Y'all ain't going to go on my Longhorn tangent. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because that was a great game. Still the most highest-rated
championship game.
It was a great game, wasn't it? Hey, man, so, you guys were talking about this week. It's been tough, right? But I dipped into the WNBA. I told you guys that the other day. The only day that I didn't really, put any action out was yesterday. It was a wasteland yesterday, dude. I was like, dude, I can't get into anything. Maurice, you were talking about the CFL, but I just can't do the CFL. So, today and this morning, of course, I was listening to my two favorite hosts, Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. And so you were talking to unders, DRS. I'm thinking the same thing, man. So when the Lions came out, I ran with, I think, four unders. I took the under 9 in Philly. It was 9. I got it plus 105. It went to 9.5. We'll see, right? I like the Mets tonight at plus 115 with Verlander. The under in the like you were talking, DRS, that Cincinnati Red, Milwaukee game. That 10 is too high. Ashcraft is up and down. 10 is too high. I took that under. And there was another under that I like. Oh, at Texas and Cleveland. 8.5. Savali's, man, with Savali's on, man, he is dominant. And that Ranger, that Ranger Stadium up there, whatever the name of it is, I forget the name of it, that's a big ballpark, that's a pitcher's park, and with two solid starters, with Gray from Texas and with Savali with Cleveland, neither team, Texas has really kind of been cold hitting here recently, and Cleveland never hits against good teams. So I think that's another good under. And I took a chance with the Reds at +110, the Mets at +110, and the Chicago Cubs at +110 with Hendricks at home, Bello, mm-hmm. you know, with the Red Sox. Good matchup. That's another possible under. Because the last time Hendricks pitched, man, I think he was lights out. But, yeah, man, and shout-out to Moose, man. Man, he put some good information out on cooking, man. That That's cast iron note he gave you guys the other day. Yeah, man. But, yeah. So, anyway, what do you guys think about those Major League Baseball plays for tonight?
I like it. I like where you're going with that one. I think more unders than overs tonight, but certainly I'm going to be cooking up some hot sauce tonight, Kevin, using a little Tabasco, trying to find some overs. And by the way, just get me all fired up. I'm telling you right now, like Chris calls in and tells me that he was a very good football player in the Texas heyday. Like my favorite book of all time, the book, not the movie, which I did like the movie, Friday Night Lights. I just got such a kick out of how important high school football was in the state of Texas. And by the way, the 52 defense ran that as well here in Jersey. And look at that, man. Love it. Yeah, football. Just then two minds get together, they talk, and then there's Kevin. It's the way we do it here on the Sports Grid Network. Way to go, callers. Way to go. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A lot of people in the business. It's vacation time, Kevin, in the summer. Most notably this past week. Now, granted, not a ton was going on. Major League Baseball on hiatus. Yes, you still have the NBA Summer League, which we are enjoying, as well as, you know, WNBA action. And there's golf out here. There's tennis with Wimbledon. But having said that, like next week, like I always talk about, Kevin, like, you know, Christmas in July pretty much, right? Football returns because we finally get to see it. There's no games in July, but you know it's back. Like Tuesday, like teams are reporting to training camp. And I feel like that next wave starts to hit because, yeah, I love the NFL Network. I'll watch the NFL Network on one of my TVs. But, boy, sometimes it's pretty boring in the offseason where the same stuff just gets regurgitated. You're going to have fresh, new content, question marks. Oh, I forgot about this player. Yeah, this team might be one of those sleeper teams. Because I know a lot of people do work in the offseason, just NFL guys. But for like content people who I love the NFL, but when I start to see it again, it rejuvenates me. I get excited for it. I want to start laying down some future wagers, seeing how teams will do. I can't wait for next week, man. I really can't.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of markets for us to be able to kind of peel over. And I think once these teams start to get together, reporters eventually start to kind of get in the room and they get to ask certain questions, and that's when we get to some of the fun stuff here. Hey, Rodgers, how's this going? It's been what it is. All right, Rodgers is unhappy in New York. There you go. Let's start to load that up here. Hey, Tannehill, how do you feel about, you know, not only Malik Willis coming along, but, you know, rookie Will Levis? Honestly, I'm better than both these guys. I don't see any competition in the room. And it's like, all right, here we go. You know, there's going to be a lot of good stuff that'll just kind of pop up over the next week, next couple of weeks, that we'll be able to start to see and lay out the foundation for these teams for their upcoming season.
How about this one? Aaron Rodgers did speak here on being chosen for HBO's Hard Knocks. Quote, they forced it down our throats. Quote, obviously, a lot of eyes on me, a lot of expectations for our squad. They forced it down our throats, and we got to deal with it as if it's like a punishment. For like saying, hey, you know what? Aaron, since you went to New York, you guys are on the road all 17 games. Yep, they forced it down our throat.
It's also hilarious in that it's like, it's so much like exposure. As you said, Rodgers is not, no matter what he wants to frame himself as, a quiet to himself guy. He goes on podcasts all the time.
Yes.
And you're the New York Jets, man. Like, you're not, like, and you have Aaron Rodgers. Like, you're going to be, like, Donnie, in terms of center of attention, like, the Jets might be the most, like, the Jets are easily a top five center of attention team this season. No debates. No debates.
Yes. 1,000%. By the way, it looks like there are some high, I believe, is that the Lake Tahoe golf competition, like the superstars go out there and play? Because I see that's where they're getting those quotes from here. Whereas he's actually, this one is from Ari Mirov, just talking about it live, said he does want to meet Liv Schreiber, the narrator of Hard Knocks, which I don't, well, he's going to meet Liv Schreiber. Liv Schreiber's probably not even anywhere around the training camp. You think Liv, like, has a microphone, like, actually talking into it at practice? Like, what is this?
Then that's not a real quote. That's got to be.
It's what it says.
Oh, I got, I'm going to leave that be for now, I think. That's a crazy quote. Why does he, or is that just an aside? Like, it came up.
Yeah, like it's not in the quote, but he said he's the voice of God, which, again, Liv Schreiber's got a great voice. As soon as you hear it, you know, like, okay, Hard Knocks is on, let's go, because that's the guy, you're used to it. But the fact is, like, he can't wait to meet him, as if, like, Liv Schreiber is, like in a quarterback meeting with a microphone in the back, like, Aaron Rodgers, New York Jets, day number one. Like, ooh, where's that coming from? Like, yeah, no. He's probably in L.A.
Yeah. When hanging out with Liv on set, it's been legitimately the time of my life. Really good friends now. It's like, that's not, all right, man. I don't think you understand how this works. Let me just, by the way, this is what I was going to say to you. I don't know if you saw this. A quick little thing here. I'm getting faked out by quotes on Twitter. Did you see the Imani Bates thing by chance?
No. No, what was it?
Imani Bates in a summer league game shot like 4-13, scored 8 points.
Yes.
One of those fake accounts went, man, Imani lit it up tonight. And was like, it was like,
like, God,
it was
like news.
It was, yeah, like, no, it was like 11 news. For 15, 27 points. Someone just sent out a fake stat line and he reposted it on his Instagram story. And people were like, wait a minute, like, he got fooled on what kind of game he had? Like, I'm not even understanding how that's possible. Like, this guy thought he scored 25 points tonight. Like, he was terrible in the game. This is ridiculous.
Goodness. Yeah, that's good. By the way, Imani Bates, one of those guys, that top-end guy, ends up going to EMU, but looks like it's probably going to work out in his favor at this point, but a super talented guy nonetheless. By the way, keep it in, like, I guess, go ahead. What do you got to say before I move it?
It's just the same. You know who I didn't see at Summer League, Donnie? Your guy, Patrick Baldwin Jr.
Yeah, what's he been doing?
I don't know. Like, is he just completely out of the whole situation here?
No,
like,
I actually saw him on the court. Yeah, I saw him on the court. Because, you know, it's funny you brought that up, because it's like, you know, I only watch a limited amount, but I did see Baldwin in a jersey out there, which is, you know, the scoreboard just keeps running in that situation. Oh, we'll see where it winds up at that point. But that is an interesting one overall, which never really got a ton of pub, because he did end up going round one when he probably should have gone lottery at that point. But it was like, hey, man, he went to a good situation, but you didn't even hear about that guy. Like,
no.
With Golden State. Is he still with Golden State, or did he get traded in a move or let go or something? Is he still there?
I think he's still there, but, like, when people talk about assets in that building, nobody dares mention his name. Like
oh, you can move him in a trade? Yeah, like,
yeah,
he's
not
a chip?
A thing.
Nothing.
Exactly. It's not seen as a conversation at all.
Nothing. By the way, interesting news in the NFL, too, which popped up late this week. Eagles and Jalen Carter, he's getting sued by a former Georgia staffer, I guess, which is pertaining to that SUV, you know, racing, and all went down. He ended up getting tickets there, but didn't get a severe punishment out of it. Now, I don't know how the rules would read, but I do assume, like, that happened while he was not an NFL player. Like, I don't think that, like, let's just say he gets sued and the lawsuit goes through. Like, I don't even think any liability technically from a legal standpoint. But I don't think, can he be touched in the NFL? I don't think he can at that point, can he? Like, oh, you know, this went through and we're going to open up a book on this. I don't even know if the NFL even goes back on that. Like, even though he is an NFL player now, I don't think he can.
Yeah, I'm not sure the rule book there, but obviously it's something to keep an eye on in terms of a guy that's supposed to be impactful for the NFC favorites and a guy who's pretty high up that defensive rookie of the year market, Jalen Carter.
Yeah, this will be one to watch here. But again, the Eagles are one of the few teams in the NFL that report on the same day. So they don't go like, you know, hey, we'll come in the 18th to get, which I don't, I get what the Eagles do, and it does work. And veterans love that. Like, hey, by the way, less practice time? Yeah, sign us up. We love this stuff. As long as you perform on the field, it works. And the Eagles certainly did that last year. But even as like a rookie, like I remember, like, I don't know, let's just say freshman year, high school and college.
would have been nice if, like, we got to get in there a couple days ahead of time just to get the drills down and here's where you go and the locker room and all that good stuff. But it's interesting that the Eagles will bring everybody in at the same time. But, again, it's not as if they just show up like, hey, guys, way to meet you. Like, they've been there working through OTAs all in the offseason, so it's a little bit different at that point here. But the NFL season, again, creeping closer and closer and closer. We still got a couple big players out there that are still floating around. DeAndre Hopkins, we talked about him a little bit on the Friday morning show. You know, hey, there's offers there for Tennessee. Wild swinging odds for him to actually go to the Tennessee Titans. We don't know what's going to take place. We took that look at the New England Patriots. He would fit in with the Patriots because you can't have too many weapons there for Mac Jones. But it's amazing, though. A guy of that stature, right? One of those poster guys, which I call, like, hey, man, kids look up, like, this guy's amazing. Floating out there with basically no real offers other than two and teams that aren't all that appealing? It's crazy.
Yeah, it's puzzling. And you wonder, could some – I saw a thing and what, you know, maybe Chris Jones and the contract gets worked out. It's going to be restructured and could free up money to enter them in the Hopkins sweepstakes. But it now comes off, it's like, I don't know if he even wants to go to Kansas City anymore. It's a really interesting setup there with him.
Yeah, we'll find out certainly sooner than later on that one. How about this, though? Netflix documentary, they usually do a good job. Is anybody watching out there? Come on back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Crank it up. Hour number two. Always a lot of fun. We'll take your, anybody out there, we'll take your calls. 844-843-6879, Sirius XM channel 159. By the way, we spend a lot of time talking about the NFL and how geeked up, like me, like I love it. I can't wait for the NFL to start. Basically starts next week with a lot of teams reporting to practice. We have to remind ourselves, though, the college football right on the horizon. There are going to be real college football games before there are real regular season NFL games. Doing any research out there? Who we feeling? Like, what's the energy in the room for college football?
I'm pumped about college football. Again, I think one of the beautiful things this year is week zero with a little more meat on the bone than usual. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame is supposed to be.
What's the date of week zero? Like, what day are we talking about here?
August 26th. August 26th.
It is getting close, huh?
Yeah, it is. And again, the last year's Heisman Trophy winner, favorite to repeat, Caleb Williams, is once again back. And I got to, you know, that's going to be a really fun market to go through, Donnie, because, you know, it's very difficult to go out there. What is the number there, repeat in terms of Heisman? One time, is it, that it's happened?
Was it the guy from Ohio State, I know, did it, Archie Griffin?
Yeah,
Archie Griffin,
I believe,
back-to-back. Is that the only one? Like, I'm honestly forgetting here.
Yeah, because so often, Donnie, right, guys win it and they're gone. You know what I mean, right?
Yes.
So,
or you win it one year, it's like, well, you can't surpass it the next year. There's no way you're getting it. Like, we've seen younger players win that before. Yeah.
Yes, you can put guys
in the only
side
one.
By side.
Archie Griffin's
sure.
The only one that won it twice, yes.
But, like, if you pull up, and I'm going to try and pull them up here myself, like the Caleb Williams,
Jay Berwin
odds to win the Heisman next year, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how does he not win it, Donnie? With the way Lincoln Riley produces these players, with the talent level that he is, he's plus 500. Jaden Daniels is back at LSU with Brian Kelly?
I guess, yeah.
I mean, is that really where we're going with this? Michael Penix, Donnie, like Michael Penix at Washington. Is that where we're looking here?
Rocking and rolling. Looks like it's going to be a wide open field all of a sudden. That's the best we got in college? Oof. All right.
Quinn Ewers, J.J. Man, I will say there's a good amount of returning names, though, in this crop here, which is pretty good. Now, here's a question that I'm not scared to ask live on air.
Do it.
Who the hell is that Alabama's quarterback? Is it this kid Kyle McCord? Who is the Alabama quarterback this year?
Nobody knows, I guess. I saw, like, a couple people Ohio tweeting State out, like, kid. Looking at, like, SEC quarterbacks, and it basically said, like, or ranking SEC quarterbacks. And it was like, whoever Alabama has in, just plug them in this spot. Like, they don't even, like, there's no name. It's just, like, just put them here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, doesn't matter. Like, first, second, third, whoever it is. Or whoever, like, wins Georgia's quarterback race, just put them here. Doesn't matter.
Because Oh, right. Jalen, I forget about it. Jalen Milroe is there. Like, where is Milroe in terms of this market, though? Like, you can't even find him. Because, DRS, here's my point, and I know you'll agree with this. 100-1 Jalen Milroe, he cannot be. Like, you just bet Alabama's quarterback if Alabama's quarterback's going to be 50-1.
Correct.
You're doing that without any hesitation.
Mm-hmm. Blind fly. What about your boy Joe Milton?
I love
what do you expect out of here?
I love
Tennessee style. Like, rocket arm, enormous football player.
Correct.
6'5", 245.
Don, like, I know you can't get drafted on like highlight tapes and stuff, Don.
Yes.
Like, you know, people are like, man, like this guy's got all the tools. Like, Jalen, like Joe Milton's got all the tools.
Yes.
Like, come on.
Like,
now.
Like, no, they do draft in the NFL based just on tools, though, specifically quarterbacks. Like, hey, you take a fifth-round, fourth-round, third-round flyer on the guy, nobody's going to be upset. And if it turns out to be anything, then you basically won. But a guy like that, and also, you have to take a look. He sort of been hiding in the shadows, supposed to be something at Michigan, didn't work out, winds his way down to Tennessee. He's got a year in the SEC to put up numbers, and we know how that works.
Oh, yes.
You can come out of nowhere and just like, Cam Newton is one of those guys. It's like, hey, oh, my goodness, can he ever take the field of Florida? Gets booted out of Florida, has to go to a JUCO, comes in, has a ridiculous season at Auburn, and away you go on tools.
And we saw last year with, I mean, the way that offense is, obviously they lost plenty of talent, but, I mean, if they're just going to let this kid throw the ball 50 yards down the field every single play, Donnie, I mean, you're talking about big-time statistics. Hendon Hooker was obviously very deep in the mix in terms of that Heisman race.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be fun. And again, as you just said, forget about, like, hey, that's so far away. Like, we're talking, what, 5.5 weeks from week zero in college football? Now, Kevin saw me behind the scenes. He really hasn't taken a look at college football yet. So we're just trying to find our way around the marketplace and have some fun here at this. There you go.
Listen, I actually, you're totally nuts, but I don't even mind that comment this time because a lot of this stuff is still, we're still in that catch-up period there. But I see, this is the stuff that you do. Is you've set my brain off, and I know that at any moment you're going to just move on.
Yes.
But I'm literally texting people behind the scenes, like, who the hell is going to start for Alabama here?
Yes.
Because I'm not above right now, like, betting on this show. Like, someone explain to me, like, who is going to be their Donnie, if it's on principle play, and you might not care about this, and I'm just bothering you to no end, and honestly, that's incredible. But in what world are you not betting Alabama's quarterback, starting quarterback, at 100-1?
Yes.
Whoa. Did
what do you
see
got?
This, Donnie? They
not
got regular
what?
Season props on these kids.
Over
unders.
Book? FanDuel?
On Whoa, stop the madness.
All right, let me take a look at this.
Don, they got Will Shipley's over under season rushing touchdown.
Oh, my God.
Uh-oh.
I mean, the shock in the room when I found out who Will Shipley actually
Don't
was.
Start. Just
I mean,
leave
come
it
on,
that.
Man. That's
that.
A pop in the room. I'm telling you. And by the way, you were the tweet I sent it to when I couldn't believe it here. Kevin, I'm watching players out there. Like, I'll watch 3 or 4 games and be like, now hold on. Like, something I just, like, this is kind of interesting to me. I mean, by the way, Clemson football this year, ACC football. Everybody, hey, FSU is the team. Watch out for FSU. But we always know, like, Clemson is still there at that point. Are they in it? Like, because I didn't look at any odds. Like, I don't even know about the ACC, quite frankly. I watch Miami football, and I know Florida State and Clemson are good. Yeah.
So, plus 155 Clemson, plus 185 FSU. Florida State's was that his team this year, huh? I mean, that's basically what you're getting there then. If they're going to kind of line it up that way. But remember you and I were talking about, like, that Monday night college spot, like Clemson's playing Duke, and the line does not look like a Clemson game from any year in recent memory?
It is kind of crazy how it does start out, but they are Florida State, what, 25-1 to win the national championship, along with Texas and Tennessee. There's Notre Dame 30-1. I am excited for, you know, it's kind of funny. I can't stand Notre Dame, but I love Sam Hartman. Well, it's going to be tough. Like, usually every time I turn the TV on, I root against Notre Dame at nauseam. But I don't know if I can now. Like, I love Sam, good old Sammy.
Yeah, I mean, and as you should, right?
Drake May. What is that about?
What does that mean?
100-1 to win the national championship with maybe the best quarterback? What did I miss? What did I miss there?
My goodness.
Well, remember, now see, it's like, Donnie, like, remember though I was trying to start the Drake May, like, you know, get him out of UNC rumors? Like,
yes.
He could have gone to Alabama.
Transfer, like, all season. Like, wherever I want to go, they'll pay me big money to go.
Like, family ties to UNC matter more than him going and winning a Heisman and national championship and probably like a $10 million NIL bag from Alabama.
Yes.
That's
great.
Madness.
It is madness, because I look right now, the ACC championship winner, fourth at plus 850 behind Clemson, Florida State, and Louisville. And boy, Miami, 23-1. And Miami got a five-star wide receiver for the 2024 class. Not going to help this year and Mario, but they did get that big CW contract, Kevin, where now we can watch him on TV.
That was,
is that better than the ACC network, which 98% of the ACC can't actually watch it?
I mean, I didn't want to get into this in the middle of 7-7. The CW network, I mean,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that for, like, bad TV movies and, like,
yes,
reruns
1990s
of Reba?
Sitcoms. Yes.
Like,
that's what it feels like. Now, also, like, in today's day and age, like, most of the remotes, like, on my Comcast remote, you hit the C button there and it pops up, like, all the sports. I get that. But half the battle in sports and just people in general are what if you stumble on. I don't know where to find the CW. You see what I like?
Not.
You go to 3, 6, 10, Fox, ESPN, then you're just about out of it. Like, a lot of the times, like, hey, is, I don't know, Miami's playing Clemson, and it ends up on the CW. Like, a casual fan might say, hey, I'm just going to watch this Texas game on ESPN or the, you know, SEC game at 3:30. You can't even find that here. Like, I understand, like, hey, we just made this deal. It's like, okay, is, you know, the tree falls in the forest. Does anybody hear it if nobody's around? No. Like, that's, I look at that and it's almost like everybody, has anybody looked at that and said, oh, man, that's a great deal for the ACC? That's really big time. And you're really like, that's hilarious. They're on the CW. That's terrible.
Well, I guess for the ACC, the deal isn't based on the ratings, right? That's for the CW to worry about.
Exactly, yes. They're getting a paycheck, yes.
Yeah.
They're definitely. But by the way, did you hear talking about ratings, though, Kevin? The Pac-12. Do we have any movement on the Pac-12 finding a place to actually broadcast their games? Has that been put to bed yet?
You know, I made, as best of my ability, a hard-line stance that I would not bet any college basketball games that were going to air on the Pac-12 network because I got to protest it.
I did a lot of games on the Pac-12 network, K-Dub, inputting statistics there. It's very interesting. Used to be very interesting back in the day. Pac-12 After Dark was actually one of their shows, yeah.
Now, see, all right, now, listen, this maybe is a silly question, but you did games that you weren't in attendance for?
Oh, tons, yes. We had a contract to be in. You got paid more in the building, which obviously I wasn't going to go. But I did the majority of games on the West Coast because that was the second round. I'd do a game at 7 o'clock. I'd do a game at 9 o'clock and sometimes a triple header at 11 o'clock on the West Coast. They were TV games, absolutely, where you had to get the – I'll tell you how it worked because it was really interesting how you had to get the fastest feed possible in order to make it work. The life of DRS. We'll talk about it next year. You guys know I've been around the world in the sports industry, and we'll talk about it. Let's go.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Talking a little bit of everything here in hour number two right here on Moneyline. By the way, to switch it back quickly here on Major League Baseball, you know, we talk a lot about Shohei Ohtani, where he possibly could go at the trade deadline, but it's coming up and the rumors are going around, and there are some very interesting ones. We know the Dodgers, they need starting pitching, so it looks like they're eyeing up Lucas Giolito to try to help them out, the White Sox pitcher. But do you know what one is starting to make a rounds, the rumors, Kevin? The Phillies and Juan Soto.
Really?
Yes. Like, that's starting to make his way around. Like, the connections, you know, Kevin Long, who's the hitting coach for the Philadelphia Phillies, very close with Juan Soto. Ownership group in Philadelphia, which is basically John Middleton. He's got a penchant for just saying, like, hey, you know what? I'll pay for whatever we need at this point. And it's not even to say, like, who knows if Juan Soto would be another $300 million contract for the Philadelphia Phillies. They give him out like water. Eventually, you can't really do that. But if the Phillies go, hey, we have two or three prospects we can flip for Soto to see if we can make a run with, you know, Bryce Harper and see if it works, that would be, that lineup would be ridiculous, because that sort of would take the place, again, as a
a better version of Rhys Hoskins. Like, you would get that big bat in the middle of that lineup that can dominate. It's an interesting. I don't know if it's going to happen, but those are the rumors that are starting to fly around. Because, again, as much as we talk about Ohtani, other teams are going to make moves for players, which, again, the Phillies and the Padres play this weekend here. Wow. Let's just say the Phillies, I don't know what's going to happen. They end up sweeping the Padres, right?
Yeah.
And the Padres go, hey, you know what? Soto's already sending those messages out. He's going to be a free agent. He's going to the highest bidder. We're still going to be talented. Maybe we can still make a playoff, but we're not just going to lose Juan Soto at the end of the year. That's an interesting guy because he can go anywhere, and you know as well as I do, Yankees start hearing, hey, Ohtani doesn't really want to move. They'll set their sights on Juan Soto as well. So will many other teams if that guy's available.
Imagine, and it's such a good point, the ability to almost, I don't want to say steal, but swipe Juan Soto, because other teams have to sit and be prepared for what could be Ohtani.
Yeah.
But that's a real thing. That really happens. And it's a really interesting point. You know, you kind of forget, because Soto before, you know, the Ohtani true breakout to the degree that it is, you know, what he is now.
Mm-hmm.
Soto was the, my God, what is this guy going to make, right? Like, he's going to sign a 10-year deal and be the only guy that's ever making an all, he's going to make all-star team all 10 years of this 10-year contract. Now, he's not been, I don't think, as good in San Diego as people anticipated, despite the fact it's very easy to forget. The Padres last year were in the National League Championship Series.
Yes.
That is not a team that's failed miserably. They are just having a really bad season right now. So moving on from Soto makes some sense. And it's funny, but if the Phillies are, he's probably not as expensive as you'd think. He's certainly not going to cost what he cost the Padres when they made that move to initially get him.
Yes, and also we have to remind ourselves that we are a few weeks away from the deadline, and the Padres are immensely talented. Actually had a decent little win streak heading into the break. They could also change that momentum by sweeping the Philadelphia Phillies this weekend, getting hot and say, we're not getting rid of Soto by any means necessary, even if we lose him to a bidding war when it's all said and done. So there is that as well.
I really, to take it to another guy, I really wonder if Goldschmidt's moved on from, if I'm not mistaken, Donnie, has an opt-out at the end of this year or something that's going to be able to kind of, you know, wiggle him out. And I wonder if the Cardinals, because here's the thing, you're right, the Padres could make a run, the Mets could make a run. I don't think St. Louis can. I think St. Louis, record-wise, is down the bottom enough that there isn't an alternative for this team to heat up and think to themselves, okay, we're not out of this just yet.
Yes, no, and I agree with you on that, too, because the next 3 weeks are going to tell the tale for a lot of teams. It's a shame that from a Cardinals perspective, you can still have a bad season and be like five games out of the Central because it's not a great division, but they are so far back. You have to climb over, three teams just to get up into that race and see what you can do. I don't think that's going to be possible either at this point. By the way, a little bit of fun to poke. The ESPYs were this week. Dan Patrick, you know, longtime guy in this game, SportsCenter, has his own show. Not too happy with ESPN because LeBron James's announcement, he basically said, well, what did we think he was actually going to say? And by the way, I didn't watch the ESPYs. And the only thing, parts of the highlights I saw were the Banana Boat crew up there, right?
Yeah.
Which was Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, and Chris Paul. And then Melo came up on stage. But I actually didn't see. There was another picture I saw, which was LeBron James and his family. Was that the announcement? Like, I'm coming back?
No. So
did you watch it? Like, well, I don't know. I didn't watch it.
Okay. So, because I'm curious what Dan's problem is. Because this, you know how I get with this. LeBron James, Donnie, won the record for best record-breaking performance. For breaking Kareem's record. And they had his family involved in terms of kind of like giving him the award. Like his three kids in Savannah went up there. And then LeBron, in his acceptance speech of the award, took it upon himself to basically, you know, to make the comment of, I am not going to retire. All but confirming what we had already known. LeBron, a couple of, you know, weeks ago, was posting every single Laker signing on his story. What is Dan Patrick's problem? I know I'm sincere. No, what is his problem, Donnie, with what happened there? That LeBron confirmed he wouldn't be back. It was confirmation of. It wasn't that LeBron said, I'd like to announce I won't be retiring, but a part of LeBron's speech was that, lucky for you guys, that day is not today that I'm going to continue to be playing basketball. What, he's met at ESPN
For what? Did Dan not watch it, Donnie? Does Dan think that they gave LeBron a platform? He won an award.
Yes, he basically said if LeBron was going to be at the ESPYs, it would be only to announce his retirement, not give him the stage to announce he was actually coming back.
Yeah, so,
like that.
So Dan Patrick has no idea what he's talking about then, because LeBron won an award and made an acceptance speech, Donnie, like a bunch of other people that night.
Now,
this stuff is so tiring. Garbage. No,
we have a segment over the weekend.
Oh, we'll talk about the fact that LeBron isn't retiring and the fact that now we know he's not going to also retire the following season, because next year, Donnie, his son will be in the NBA draft.
Mm.
So we're going to get into that aspect of it, because that's what I think normal people should be talking about at this point, not complaining that ESPN gave LeBron a platform to announce he wasn't retiring. Good grief, get over yourself. Are these people not tired of embarrassing themselves for not knowing how to handle one of the greatest athletes in the history of sports for 20 years?
People bent out of shape a little bit there. LeBron getting a stage to announce he's coming back. I mean, just saying. It's one of those hot topics that we had and we had to take a look at. By the way, go ahead.
I heard someone say, and I thought it was a point well made, that LeBron is getting more grief for considering retirement in a moment than Tom Brady got, Donnie, for actually retiring and then unretiring 6 weeks later.
Tom Brady, one of the best to ever play the game, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the difference.
And LeBron, just the best ever, period. People just hate LeBron, right? And that's what it comes down to, is the Dan Patricks of the world don't like LeBron, right? Is that what it is? Or is Dan Patrick just doesn't know? Dan Patrick struggled with
like
the Phil airtime in July, Donnie.
Yeah, he doesn't
like
ESPN.
It's such a nonsense.
Oh, it's fine. Sure. Okay, I guess.
Take
a lot
shot.
Of people don't like ESPN.
By the way, Brian Windhorst came up like a week and a half ago, like, hey, by the way, I can't share anything on this LeBron James news I'm getting, so you guys just let your mind free and clear and run wild. But then again, I was listening to Philadelphia radio the other day, Kevin, and somehow Windhorst came up and was like, hey, by the way, Daryl Morey's got a lot of things cooking right now. I'm like, what is he got cooking? I haven't heard anything. Like, how's Windhorst? Where is Windhorst getting this information where LeBron, again, word on the street is LeBron's going to take a piece of the Cavaliers, go there, draft his son, and away they go. Like, that's what I'm hearing. But then again, Daryl Morey is cooking all over the place, and nobody hears it but Brian Windhorst. I do love the rumor mill in the NBA. It is tremendous.
Yeah, I mean, the Windhorst fingers thing that secretly really, really bothers me, but nobody cares why, so we don't have to get into it. But this idea that, like, I don't know, I agree with you. I think he's trying to drop breadcrumbs that LeBron James is already kind of basically going to be named the LeBron, like the Cleveland LeBrons next season.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I'm going to hit you with this quote. Ready? It's from the NFL. I know you get a kick out of this. From a Packers player, quote, "We'll run through a wall for Jordan Love."
Come on, man. No way.
There you go. There you go. A.J. Dillon.
Yeah.
Basically hyping up. By the way, also, to break, because I do want to talk about the Packers for a second here. But we're going over, like, you know, Bill Belichick and free agency and Tom Brady's like, hey, remember when Tom Brady left, they spent so much money in free agency? Because the Packers have had this long streak of we don't really sign anybody in free agency. And the fact of the matter is they still stuck to their guns. Like, hey, by the way, we lost maybe the most talented quarterback of all time, arguably. We're going to Jordan Love, and we're still not going to help him out. So it's unbelievable how the Packers are run.
That part is wild. I guess they can rely on the fact that Watson and Dobbs are in year two. But it is perplexing that they still got on that clock and didn't draft a pass-catching talent, despite the fact that everyone's like, I mean, look, you've got franchise-changing tight ends. We've never seen anything like this in this draft. And they're like, nah, we don't really see the need. But I'm
from the Packers' perspective, though, Kevin, like, Love, again, he was drafted high. There's way more good vibes on Jordan Love than like a Trey
Lance.
Yeah, I was going to call him Trey Lyles in a second. Trey Lance out in San Francisco. But the fact of the matter, like, if you said to, let's just say the Packers, let's just say Devontae Adams never left Green Bay, you had a slight upgrade at the tight end position, and you gave Jordan Love the football, like, whoa, man, like the Packers probably win this division. The fact that they almost like don't care, I'm like, oh, it's fine. Like, Detroit's going to run away with this division, which everybody wants to. Like, the Packers are like two weapons on offense away, like decent ones, from dominating that division with Jordan Love. And the fact that I just never gave him anything. Never gave him anything there, which always is kind of funny with that. But that's what we're talking about. Getting excited for the NFL. I cannot wait, by the way. Next Tuesday, rookies show up. We wake up in the morning, do the early line, and just rocking and rolling with, hey, look at this. The Ravens are in camp. And hopefully, even with the rookies, usually the quarterbacks show up. So when the quarterbacks do show up, that's going to be Lamar Jackson time out here. K-Dub, you there? That don't sound like he's there. It's real quiet over here on this side. Look at that. Look at that. K-Dub. Of course, man, look at this. You guys know how to drill, man. Your boy DRS is always here for the people. Whether it's a Friday, whether it's a Tuesday, whether it's a Wednesday, on air, letting it rock and roll. It is a monster weekend across the sports landscape, but none bigger than turning into football season. And as we just went over, look, Major League Baseball is finally back. The bets are going to be flying, but also the winners and the losers are going to be decided in Major League Baseball over the next 3 weeks. Now, also keep in mind, betting strategies do change throughout the season. April, May, June, everybody's still trying to win. Once you get to the All-Star break, teams are deciding if they want to win. And by the time that trade deadline comes and August hits, teams are actively trying to win and actively trying to tank. Numbers and taxes on good teams will go up in the month of August. You're already going to start to see that over the next couple weeks. So just some food for thought. Some of the tactics that you use in the first half of Major League Baseball season might not be there at the end of Major League Baseball season. We got one more segment to go here on an exciting, an hour-packed, action-filled hour number two. It's Donnie Right Side, Kevin Walsh. We will be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ready to go here. Hour number two coming to a close for Moneyline. A lot of big stuff here happening next week. Let me ask you this question. Monday morning, we'll be back on the show. Give me a hot topic that we're going to be hitting on Monday morning. How about like the future headlines? What's coming up?
Ooh, okay. We got, I think on Monday, we will get a real piece of news around either Hopkins or Cook. I think you kind of set the table for that this morning, so I might be stealing your answer. Mm. But it feels like we're at the point now, since guys are about to be reporting, that it's about time we start to hear something on those fellas, right?
Yes. I do think that is a legitimate factor there. If I'm looking towards Monday here, how about if this? Alcaraz, champion at Wimbledon.
I like that.
Set
I like
the table
that.
There.
I'll tell you the other thing. I think you gave the audience a taste on this show, but it seems like the rumor mill in Major League Baseball is about to get real hot. I mean, because Ohtani, and you kind of made a good point. There's a lot of guys that are going to get moved that are not Shohei Ohtani, no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, Soto to the Phillies is big breaking news, major news, if something like that were to happen. Just the fact that Soto could be on the block.
And leave him in Philadelphia, like he doesn't even get the plane ride back to San Diego at this point.
Job done. What are we, 2 weeks out from the deadline, essentially, right? 31st?
Or how about this? You know what's lucky this weekend? The Rays are going up against the Royals, which they should smash. I would have loved that the Rays had to go up against a real quality opponent. And let's just say the Orioles just gassed the Miami Marlins this weekend. Mm. That would be amazing. Like the Rays, after that start, not even in first place anymore. That would have been a tremendous, tremendous headline to read. But that'll do it here for hour number two and Moneyline. As always, a ton of fun. Christian behind the scenes, producing, keeping it legit on the wheels of steel.
Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside here. And on Monday, we are going to have big-time highlights to go over which one of those front headlines is going to come true. Thanks for tuning in. And once again, we'll see you on Monday. Later.